For you this morning. How many of you know me? Raise your hand if you know me. Okay, raise your hand if you don't know me. Okay, oh, there is some people that don't know. Great. How do you know if you know somebody? I mean, Terry, he gave some introduction to me, so maybe you know me now. We have been in Mexico for the last 15 years, but we started at this church in 1993. We came to Camp Hidrahaji to work. This is our, as you kind of talked this morning, this has been our home church. Whenever we come back to Bailey, this is always feels like home. In Mexico, I work with Christian Camping International, and right now I work traveling kind of around the country, training people in Christian camping. I do a lot of the national events and regional events around the country. But in January, we came back. And we're going to be back here in the States, back in the Bailey area, for at least 2 to 3 years. Our son, the educational needs weren't being met in Mexico, and so it was a hard decision, but God has called us back here. And we're excited about being here, and we're excited about joining back in with our home church. And so I look forward to getting to know you more and more. If you don't see me on a weekend, I'm probably traveling back to Mexico or to Cuba or to somewhere. So I still do a lot of different things for Mexico. So I'm not done being a missionary, and we really hope in the next few years to go back to Mexico as well. But how do you know somebody? I mean, some of you have known me for a long time. You know, I think you know me. My wife has been married to me for 26 years. You know, I think she knows me. But she probably doesn't know everything about me. Sometimes we meet people and we feel like, oh, I know this person. Other times, kind of on a negative thing, we see somebody in the way they dress and the people they hang out with, and we think that we know them because of the way they dress. Who is Cliff McAllister? Of course, that's not the topic of my sermon this morning, and we're not going to be talking any more about me, but who is Jesus Christ? How do we know who Jesus Christ is? This morning, we're going to look at Peter's confession of Christ found in Luke chapter 9. Peter's confession of Christ. This confession of Christ was also found in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. Each of the writers writes with a kind of a different perspective. The Spirit was guiding them in a different direction. They have a purpose for their writing as they wrote about this confession. Jesus had sat down with his disciples, and he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Now in Luke, you know, as you begin, and it's okay to open your Bibles now to Luke chapter 9, as we begin to look at this, Luke, for him, this was a pivotal part of his gospel. It wasn't the exact center of his gospel, but it was the center of his gospel as far as it, maybe not lengthwise, but it was the center of his gospel. He had just finished his Galilean ministry when he does this Peter's confession of Christ, and then from chapter 10 on begins the walk to Jerusalem. From chapter 10 on, he's walking to the cross. So this becomes a pivotal and important part to Luke's gospel. Up to this point in his Galilean ministry, Jesus had been healing people, he had been preaching, he had been casting out demons, he had been performing miracles. And then he asked this question. In fact, in chapter 8, he calms the storm. At the beginning of chapter 9, he feeds the 5,000. And then he comes to his disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" This is the important part, or a pivotal part, to Luke's gospel. And this may be a pivotal part for us today as we learn how to share that gospel. So let's look at Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 18. And on the up here, this will be in the New American Standard. I've got the NIV. I kind of forgot about that, so sorry. But you can follow along. "Once, when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were there with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say that I am?' Peter answered, 'The Christ of God.' Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." This is the most important question that any person is going to answer. Everybody needs to be able to answer this question: who is Jesus Christ? Most of us have grown up in the United States. And I think because we live in the United States, I think almost everybody has heard of Jesus Christ. Everybody that you might share the gospel with probably have some kind of idea about Jesus Christ. Based upon their culture, based upon their experience, they know Jesus Christ in some limited manner. For many, Jesus is just a religious system of do's and don'ts. For many people, they see Jesus as just a system, it's just a bunch of do's, this is what I can and cannot do. For others, Jesus, oh yeah, he was a good person, he lived a long time ago, but he's really not relevant to me today. For others, Jesus and all Christians, they were just hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do another thing. And for many, Jesus is just one of many ways to something better. This morning, I really want to begin talking about this Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And as a missionary, my job is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's to talk about Jesus Christ. But that's all of our jobs. We need to share Jesus Christ. How do we share Jesus Christ to a world that just thinks, yeah, he's just one way to something better? Yeah, he's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. He's just a hypocrite. He's not relevant to my life. So this morning, I want to help us answer that question. How do we answer that question, or how do we help people answer that question of who is Jesus Christ? First, we need to believe in the supernatural, and I'll explain that. Second, we need to be honest with ourselves. And third, we need to deny ourselves. So let's go back and take a look at this. Starting in verse 18. "Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?'" We have to kind of put this into context. Jesus is sitting down with his disciples, and he's asking them, you know, who do people say that I am? Because people understood, they knew there was a Jesus, but who do the people say that I am? Just in chapter 8, just a few verses before, he had calmed the storm, and his disciples said, "Who is this guy? Who is this?" Then in chapter 9, the beginning of chapter 9, he feeds the 5,000. Now, I want to be really tough on the disciples. Come on, guys, why don't you get this? I mean, look, they've been with Christ this whole time. Jesus has been healing people, performing miracles all over the place, and they didn't understand that he was God. They didn't understand because he was doing things that they couldn't explain. How do we explain those kind of things? How do we understand things that we can't explain? We do the same thing today. When we don't explain something, when we can't put it in a category, we don't want to deal with it. I don't think the disciples, they didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't understand really who he was because they couldn't understand it. They couldn't explain it. Now this part where it says that Jesus prayed in private, this is one of those things that Luke points out a lot of different times that Matthew and Mark, they didn't point this out. For Luke, this prayer is the important part. Jesus had to get down on his knees and he prayed to the Father, "Help these guys understand. Help them get it. Open up their hearts and their minds." So the first step that we have to do to help people understand is we need to pray. We need to invite the Holy Spirit. We need to open up the supernatural so that the unexplained can be explained. People that you're going to share the gospel with, they're going to come to you with some kind of understanding of Jesus Christ. But a lot of times it's a faulty understanding. We need to help them to understand. Their understanding comes from the culture. Their understanding becomes from their experience. At the very best, our culture says that Jesus is a good teacher, but he's too inclusive, or he's not inclusive enough. He's too narrow in his thinking. Many people are going to come from their experience that range from Jesus is just boring, okay, and he's filled with a lot of do's and don'ts. Or he just doesn't really understand my life, or Jesus is just too weak to allow this kind of stuff to happen. I've been at camp all summer, and these kids come to us broken and hurt, and it's hard to understand that kind of stuff. They've all come with some kind of understanding of Jesus Christ, but how is their mind ever going to be open to something so big if the Holy Spirit doesn't open their mind? You and I need to pray for the people that we are going to share the gospel with. So the first challenge for you right now, and I want everyone to do this, who is it that you need to share the gospel with? I want everyone in this room to begin to have people in mind, who are you going to share the gospel with? For most of us, it better be our neighbors. Our neighbors are lost without Jesus Christ. Have you put them on your radar? Are you praying for them? They're only going to understand if you pray for them, if you lift them up, that God would open their hearts and minds to the supernatural, to something that they can't understand, they can't explain. You've got to have those people. For some, it's going to be your family. It may be your sons or your daughters. It may be your parents. We need to have those people in mind, and I want you right now to have those people in mind. So I'm going to give you just a moment of silence. I want you to have somebody in mind. Now we're going to have a cultural experience. Okay? In Mexico and in most of Latin America, whether it's a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church or a Presbyterian church, when people pray, a lot of times everybody prays out loud at once. We do a little bit of that here in the morning, but this morning we're going to pray for those people. But it's not going to be me standing up here. You're all going to stand up and you're going to pray out loud if you want to stand up. You're all going to pray out loud for those people. Lift them up by name if you know their name. If they're your neighbor and you don't know their name, lift them up anyway. We're going to begin to pray for them because we're going to change this community. We're going to start giving the gospel to people that need the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. But it's got to start with us, and it's got to start with prayer. So I want everyone to stand up, and it may feel a little bit uncomfortable, and that's okay. We're going to pray for these people, and we're going to take a couple minutes, and you're going to just pray out loud for those people. So let's just begin praying. I'm going to turn mine off so you can't hear me. Really quiet. It is never this quiet when I'm in a church in Mexico. You can have a seat though. We need to be praying for those people. The first step in us helping somebody to understand the gospel is not through our words. The first step is getting on our knees and it's inviting the Holy Spirit to help them understand. The second step, I'm getting myself completely lost. Starting in verse 20. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked his disciples, these guys he had been with for a long time, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" I think most of us in this room have probably, just like the disciples, we could say, "You are Christ of God. You are the Messiah." The Messiah literally means the anointed one. And it comes from the promise given to David in the Davidic covenant. David was promised from his seed, God would raise up a king who would reign forever on his throne. The people in Jesus' day, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a political king. They were ruled by the Roman Empire. They didn't like it. Life was hard at that time. They wanted to be liberated. They wanted to be their own country, their own nation, their own people. They wanted to have a king, and they had been promised a king. They knew a king was going to come, and he was going to rule forever on his throne. Life was going to be great when the Messiah came. And Peter said, "We know that you are the Messiah." But I don't think their understanding was complete. They didn't really know what it meant. Yeah, they wanted a Messiah, but then Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life." They didn't understand that Jesus was going to be rejected. They didn't understand that people were going to hate him. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to go to the cross and suffer. And they definitely didn't understand that he was going to be raised again on the third day. For many of us, we don't understand a lot of stuff as well. We don't understand why bad stuff happens in the world. I don't understand why kids come to Camp Idrahaji hurt and damaged. I don't understand why kids are neglected. I don't understand why kids cut themselves. I don't understand why kids have problems with eating disorders. I don't understand it. God, help me understand. Help me believe. I don't understand why Jana Elliott had to die. Help me believe. I don't understand why someone would get cancer. Help me believe. I don't understand why all these policemen and people around the world are being shot. Help me believe. I think it's okay for us to struggle, but we need to sometimes get down on our knees and say, "God, help me believe. I need to be honest. God, I don't get this. I don't understand it, but I trust you. Help me believe." This morning, we're going to pray in silence. So we're going to take a minute, if you want to, get down on your knees and pray for yourself. "God, help me understand this. Help me believe when I don't understand." Let's pray. Amen. We need to accept the supernatural. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. We need to be honest with ourselves. And when we don't get it, when we don't understand, we need to pray. And finally, starting in verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If we want to share the gospel, and we want people to understand who this Jesus is, it's not always going to be through our words. In fact, our words are probably minor. It's going to be through our actions and the way that we live. And Jesus is asking his disciples, he's telling his disciples, you need to deny yourselves and take up your cross daily. The definition of a Messiah was suffering and rejection. And I think that's what the disciples didn't get, suffering and rejection. And I think that's what most Christians today, especially in the United States, we don't understand, suffering and rejection. To deny ourselves and to carry the cross is going to mean to be rejected. The people of Jesus' day, they understood that. They knew when someone carried a cross, it was a criminal that was being put to death. It was a criminal that was literally carrying that cross, and they were suffering, and they were rejected by all of society until they would suffer on the cross and they would die. People understood what that meant when you had a cross. It's not what the cross means today for many people. That cross means suffering and rejection. And we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that we need to deny ourselves. Because today's society is just the absolute opposite of that. We deserve. That's what we are told in every advertisement, in almost every movie, in just about everything from the computer that we see, is we deserve it. Romans 12 says we shouldn't conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world says you deserve it. You deserve that. You need that. Of course we should take that. But God's plan, God's kingdom looks completely different. God's kingdom says, I want you to deny yourselves. That's going to be our biggest problem here in the U.S. is denying ourselves anything because we deserve it. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, to deny himself and carry his cross daily. If you would come after me, that means if you would be my disciple, if you and I really think that we are God's disciple, that we are Jesus' disciple, then we need to begin to understand what it would mean to deny ourselves. Not to walk in the pattern of this world, but to walk in the pattern of God's kingdom, which is completely different. That's why I love Camp Idrahaji so much and why I love camping ministry in general is we take a group of kids and we have them live together for a week and it's like a mini example of what life in the kingdom might be like. We mix everybody up, they come in not necessarily knowing each other and everything that happens at camp is done with a purpose. Everything is focused on Jesus Christ. Every activity, every skill group, every conversation, every meal, every chapel, every missionary service, everything is focused on Jesus Christ. When those counselors are walking down with their kids, they have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ, not in a forced kind of way, but in a really a natural kind of way. We're just talking. It's just Jesus walking with his disciples. This is what life is like. I love it at camp when kids act bad. I love it when the bad behavior comes out. That is just an opportunity to point out this isn't the life of a Christian. This is what it should look like. We need to love one another because almost all of that bad behavior is focused on self. It's focused on what I deserve. But we can point out, no, life should be about loving other people. And at camp, it looks really bad at the beginning of camp. But by the end of camp, it never looks perfect. But at the end of camp, people start understanding. They start looking outward. They start helping each other out. They start picking up the trash from somebody else. They start cleaning somebody else's stuff up. They help one another. They begin saying nice things to one another. They begin to understand what it means to love other people. That is God's kingdom, is to love others, not ourselves. The world says, love you first. You deserve it. God's kingdom says, love them first. They deserve it. We need to start living in God's kingdom. And the counselors, the staff at camp, I don't think most of us are worthy to be in their presence. These guys are living it. They are denying themselves and taking up their cross every day. They are working 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. They get 24 hours off. They're going to start again in just an hour from now. And then they're going to go through until Saturday at lunch and they get just a little time off. For 9 weeks, they are denying themselves sleep. They're getting up at 6 o'clock every morning and they're not going to bed till 10 or 11 o'clock every night. And not a moment of their day is spent for them. It's spent for those kids. Jesus didn't want to carry the cross. And I think those counselors, they didn't want to carry it either. Every morning they've got to get up and say, I'm going to get up. Because they are tired. They are exhausted. I was the speaker there last week at teepee camp. On Friday, we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and took the hike to Inspiration Point. Played games and different things all throughout the day. I spoke twice to them. The day didn't end until 10 o'clock at night. Yesterday, all I wanted to do was sleep. I was exhausted, and I did it for 1 week. Those guys are doing it for 8-9 weeks of their summer. We should learn from them and what it means to deny ourselves. And I love what it shares in the next verse, in verse 24. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. When those guys go home and they begin to share with their friends what they've done, talking with their parents, you mean you worked how many hours? You guys are losers. You let the camp take advantage of you. You can't work that many hours. They don't give you enough time off. You guys are losing. What do they pay you? They only pay you that? You guys really are a loser. Wouldn't it be great if somebody called us a loser? How many people have called you a loser because you have just done something crazy that doesn't make sense to the world? Our resources shouldn't be stored up for us, storing up earthly treasures. We need to store up heavenly treasures. What we have, we need to give. We need to be doing things that store up those heavenly treasures that people would say, I don't get it. You shouldn't do that. That's not a wise move. You've got to think about your retirement. You need to think about this or that. That is just isn't really wise. If you do that, you're a loser. I'm speaking to myself here as much as to you. I don't think too many people have called me a loser lately. We need to lose our life. If we want to share the gospel with people, we've got to begin praying for them because they can't understand on their own. The Holy Spirit's got to open their heart. We need to be honest with ourselves. We don't understand all this, God. I don't understand this terrible stuff that's happening in this world. Help my unbelief. And we need to deny ourselves. Every morning we need to pray like these counselors. Let me take up my cross. Let me suffer. Let me be rejected. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, there are so many people that need to hear about you. Lord, help us begin praying for them. Help us to begin praying for our neighbors. Lord, that we might just have conversations with them, to live life with them, Lord, and that you would give us that opportunity to share your gospel. Help them understand. Open their hearts, Lord. Let them ask those questions of us. And Lord, I don't understand it all. Lord, I don't understand what's happening in this world. Help my unbelief. And Lord, today help me to deny myself. Lord, may my resources be your resources. Lord, I thank you and I praise you in your Son's name. I want to read this verse as a benediction. And it's not a common benediction. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and let lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory and in the glory of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.